The following is a paid advertisement. The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the following program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.
This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys. But for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
I had a friend was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a...
Good morning, Colorado. Go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and I believe Justin Johansson is with us today, an attorney with our firm, the Bell and Pollock firm, to keep the legend going. And so we're going to answer your questions today. You can call us anytime at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, for a reason. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's easy. Just go to championsofthepeople.com. It's easy to navigate. And you know, right there on the homepage, we have a couple of buttons. We have several, but they're easy to find, a couple of buttons. You know, if you have an accident, before you ever talk to the adjuster, the very first time, before you ever talk to them, you can hit one of our buttons on our homepage of championsofthepeople.com and listen to our 30-minute show and what you need to know before you talk to an adjuster. And if you don't have time for that, the other button you can hit, and so you get a quick printable PDF checklist that you can download, right? And it's not an all-inclusive checklist, but it's pretty darn good. And it gives you the tips and tricks on talking to the adjuster. And by the way, can you ask adjusters questions? Yeah. And what kind of questions can you ask them? Go to championsofthepeople.com, and you're going to find out. Welcome to all of our listeners. We're live in KHOW, Denver, Colorado, KRDO, Colorado Springs, KBCR, KEZZ 94.1 in Steamboat Springs, and KRAI, the big flamethrower in Craig, Colorado. Welcome, all of you, to our show. You can feel free to call us if you have a question on any legal subject. Okay, today we're talking about car accidents 101. We're on part 39. Come on, here we go. Part 39. And we're going to probably wrap up right now today. You know, the ways that you can damage, injure, kill your own injury case. And you don't even know it. And maybe sometimes you do know it. But there are things that you should not do and things you should do. That's why Bell and Pollock has a legal game plan. We trademarked protected that legal game plan and the concept. And we wrote a book called Legal Game Plan. It's on our website free. You can download an e-copy free anytime. We have 10 books on 10 different injury subjects. But you need a legal game plan. You need a legal game plan on various aspects of an injury case. So, let's start here. You're on the way home. Boom. You're rear-ended. Man, you didn't expect that. You didn't want it. You had a hard day at work. You had a hard day with the kids, taking care of them. You're on your way home, and now the driver, Brad and Justin, he gets out and says, you know, oh, man, please don't call the police. Please. You know, I've got great insurance. Here's my insurance card. Now, just don't call the police. Please. And so, Brad, let's talk about that a second, because if they talk you out of calling the police, you just lost. You just made a big mistake, a big error, and it's going to hurt you.
Or they give you this one. It's not a bad enough accident that there's no need to call the police. They're not going to show up anyway.
Right.
So they don't want to call the police, and they don't want the police out there. And maybe they're driving without a license. Maybe they're not supposed to even be on the road. You don't know because you're not calling the police, and you're not getting the information you need to be able to find out about the person. You know, the police may call, may say we're not coming out, or they may say do a counter report. But the bottom line is you got to call the police. That's the beginning part of it. You call the police. I can't tell you how many times I've had over my career cases where the story has changed because the police haven't been called, and now all of a sudden the person who caused the crash is saying they didn't cause the crash, or they're saying they're not responsible.
No, exactly. And so, Justin, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So, Justin Johansson, attorney with Bell and Pollock, integral part of our law firm. So, you know, you've seen it before in your life. They talk you out of calling the police. Then you have no way to document it. And always, it seems, Justin, it seems that the stories then later change.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that are great about the police report when the police come is they'll usually investigate both sides and indicate on the police report who's at fault. So if the other party actually tries to deny, you can go back to that police report and notice, hey, vehicle one, which caused the accident, the officer cited them for failure to yield or issued them a citation or didn't have insurance. So that police report helps the person, the victim of the accident, actually prove that they are telling the truth. And if that those police officers are not there on scene, you know, because you chose not to call and believe the other guy that hit you, well, you're starting to damage your case and you don't even realize it.
Exactly. And everybody think about this a second. Put yourself in the place of the insurance company for a second. Their insured calls them up, the one that hit you, the at-fault driver, who said, don't call the police, please, please, please. And they talk to him and he says, I wasn't at fault. What are they going to do? What's the insurance company going to do? Well, they got to take statements. They got to kind of investigate it. They got to figure out who's at fault. And as Justin just said, I mean, if it's documented in the police report, that's what insurance companies look for. You know, Brad, how many times have we talked to insurance companies and what's the first thing they say? Well, give us the police report.
Well, that is the first thing they say, is they want the police report. They rely on it heavily at the beginning. And now, of course, if it comes out bad and something they don't like, then they start trying to deny the police report or attack the police officer or say it's not accurate. But basically, that's the first step they do. They want to know what's happening with respect to the police report.
Right. And Brad's right. It doesn't solve every problem, but it solves 80% of them, 70% of them, because then they're placed in a position of having to attack the police. We got a caller on line two. I'm going to go to the phone. Linda and Thornton. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, guys. My 96-year-old mother and 73-year-old sister live together in Canyon City, and my sister has been caring for my mother, but because of her osteoporosis and stuff, why she's actually needing about as much care as my mother. And so we're looking to hire some in-home care, you know, for room, board, and a stipend.
Right.
And so we're looking to get your advice on what kind of an agreement we would need, what to look out for, basically how to protect our mom and my sister. And I know people have called in before and talking about how difficult it is when you invite somebody into your home to get rid of them. So how can you help us with that?
Okay, that's a great question. So this is going to be a private person, Linda?
Yes, I think so. You know, we don't know how to go about it other than, you know, doing private.
Okay. All right. Listen, we got a break coming up. Can you hang with us to the break, and then we'll get on your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now you don't go anywhere. And thanks so much for calling us. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Justin Johansson of Bell and Pollock. We're here for you every week, and we'd be glad to talk to you. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Today we're talking about car accidents 101. And remember, car accidents 101, just because we call it car accidents 101, it applies to every type of injury. Bicycle, big truck, motorcycle, premises liability, slip and fall, right? All right, grab your coffee. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, and Justin Johansson of the law firm of Bell and Pollack. We're here for you. It's legal rock and roll time. You can call in, and Linda did give us a call, and we're going to join up with Linda. Are you still there, Linda?
Yes, I am.
Okay, she had a question about care, in-home care for her mother, and so we got a couple of questions for you before we answer your question.
Okay.
Is this going to be somebody that's licensed or a private individual or from a company? What are we looking at?
Well, I was kind of thinking it would be just private, you know, somebody who is looking for room and board, but I don't know how we would go about finding a licensed person. I mean, we'd be fine with that as well.
Right. Well, there are agencies, and I was just doing some research during the break to try to help you. There are agencies, but let's just talk law, okay? You're gonna let somebody into the home. If they're gonna live there, then that could create a problem. So yes, you need a written agreement, and there are lawyers that do what's called elder law, and they fit right into this pattern. But you need to cover such things as care. What kind of care are you looking at? And you know, what is their background? They need to be vetted, and you know, a background check. And there's certain ways that you can do that yourself. There's certain search or apps and on Google. There's certain ways that you can check their background. But you do not want to miss checking their background. You do not want to waive that. You do not want to just gloss over that, because that could be determinative of a lot of things. So background check, contact with an elder lawyer. But yes, you are correct. Sometimes they're hard to get out. Sometimes they're hard to fire. Sometimes they say, well, you let me in as a tenant. Now I'm your tenant, and you have to go through the cumbersome procedures to evict me. So you're doing the right thing. But Brad, I think elder law an elder lawyer is the way to do it, because this contract has to be a contract. I mean, it doesn't have to be 100 pages long, right, Linda? But it has to be there.
Well,
and it has to be covered.
The first thing I would do, Linda, is sit down with whoever's going to be involved and should have input, and develop a plan of what you want from this person, what you want from the person. If they're going to be there to help with personal things such as bathing, are they going to be there to help with the non-personal things such as cooking? And are they supposed to be cleaning the house, and are they supposed to be living there? You know, are you thinking, okay, I'm going to trade off room and board for them being able to do all these things that we would expect to take care of an elder person who may not be able to do those things? Are they going to be taking care of two people or one, your sister and your mother, or just your sister, or just your mother? I mean, you know, and so
both.
So you need to lay out. Now, the next thing is when you're laying out the plan on what you need from this person, you need to then start talking about that's going to be important are the needs of mother and sister different, such that one person can't keep up? And as you're putting together the plan, it's going to be somebody that you're going to want to make sure that if you're saying, I'm trading this off for you being able to live here free and having your room taken care of and board, if you're talking about also paying for the groceries and paying for the meals, are there dietary restrictions that your mother and sister have? So you got to sit down and start going through the details of what you expect for this live-in person to do, and then identify what kind of background that person has to have. Do they have a background as a dietitian to be able to determine what kind of foods your mother and your sister should be eating, what kind of foods they shouldn't, and how to prepare them, and how many meals a day, and if there are special calorie counts that have to be done, or medications, do they know how to administer the medications? And if certain medications require a licensed person, Do they have the license? As Gary mentioned, a background check is a requirement. So, you know, what you want to do to begin with is sit down with you and whoever else is helping you start this plan and start identifying what it is you want from this person who's going to be the live-in. We can talk later, even on the next show or whatever, about how you vet them and how you do background searches on them and how you make sure there's no criminal conduct. And if they've done this before, and if they've done it before, how successful was it? And who do they have as references to give you that information?
And the other thing that I want to tell you, Linda, is in my view of this, it's a different situation if you've got a 24/7 live-in versus somebody that comes in the day or something like that. But here's some things in Gary's opinion that must happen. There's no waiver. Number one, background check. We just covered that. Number two, an agreement, a contract drafted by an elder lawyer that maybe has an attachment. You know, this is what you're expected to do. Medications on time, as Brad was talking about, diet, etc. Number two, a written contract. So number one, a background check. Number two, a written contract. And number three, the most important of all, you don't make them any verbal promises. Nothing.
Okay.
Because everything is contained in the contract. Because what they say later is, well, you're evicting me, but you promised me I could live here for free. You promised me I could pay half rent if I did this and this and this. You promised me, Linda. So, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I just looked up. I mean, there's some agencies in Colorado, Aviana Healthcare. I don't know anything about them. Visiting Angels. I don't know anything about them. Colorado Help at Home. I don't know anything about them, but they need to be vetted with references as well. So I'm so glad you're calling. It requires a little bit of thought and preparation, but that's what should happen. Are we answering your questions, ma'am?
Right. That's very helpful. And I had one more question.
Sure.
That pertains to them in a different situation as well. And I have to say, you know, right now we have visiting angels coming in twice a week, but we're finding that, you know, that's expensive, and we're not finding that we're organized enough to tell them what to do.
Right.
You know, but my mother, you know, on a walker, why she's pretty self-sufficient and everything, and my sister with her osteoporosis is probably, you know, the more larger problem.
Right.
There is an apartment that is detached, that is a studio apartment, and that's where we would be planning for them to, you know, they wouldn't have to be there 24/7, but they need help with cooking and cleaning and, you know, just those basic things. So
you're making great statements, and fact this apartment's attached and they don't have to be there 24/7, so they'll have their own living quarters. So that takes identifying what you're going to want them to do, how you're going to address that as a set off against rent or against the expenses that they might have to live at the place where they're not going to have to make those payments. But then you need to know if the person can do that. Do they have a background? And remember, they're taking care of people who have somewhat of a potential of medical conditions. So the question is, do they know what to do in the event of a medical emergency?
Right.
So,
the other issue is, back in the summer, why a guy came by their house, and my older sister was there, who does a huge amount for my mom and my sister.
Right.
And he said, I have extra asphalt, and I wondered if you have any need for me to do your driveway, which was just graveled. And so my older sister decided, yeah, that would be just a great thing.
Right.
Well, they did a horrible job, and they were supposed to come back the next week and fix the problems, but the guy was broadsided by a drunk driver, and so he no longer has a truck, and he had to let his crew go, and he's still supposed to do it. My mother paid $7,000 for this work, and is that still within a small claims court situation if it comes to that?
Yes, it is. So sorry about that. People should listen to this story because this happens a lot, but very sorry. So, yes, you can make a small claims court case against them. And if you do, if you decide to or they do, I want you to give us a call. We will talk you through this for free. That's what we do is help people. I mean, we're not going to go to court with you, but we'll talk you through and give you some tips on what to do and what not to do. All right?
Okay.
And then so you can make a small claims court case against the driveway person, if you will, contractor. And then, you know, I don't know if it's even usable. Is the driveway usable? I mean.
It is, but it's one of those, like, my mother lives on the south side of town in unincorporated Canyon City, and if the deer walk across it, why, you know, it leaves their footprints and stuff that. It picks up that stuff. So
it's too soft.
It's just, but, yeah, it is usable.
Okay,
it tracks into the house. And
your small claims court limitation is $7,500. You're okay within that premise. But I agree with Gary. If you're going to start down that road, you need to call us off the air. Or actually, we can take your number and establish talking to you, and we can help you through a bunch of that on what you need to do. So you'll be able to understand what you're doing and be able to make your process or make your claim.
And we've done it before, Linda, because attorneys are not allowed in small claims court. However, we can give you great tips on how to present your case to the court, and the court appreciates it, and it's all organized. And as a teenager would say, it's like, oh, wow, right?
Right.
Hey, listen, we got to go.
I have one more statement to make.
Yes, ma'am.
Your firm represented my husband within this last year in a ladder fall.
Yes.
And the result of that was beyond our expectations, and we could not thank you guys more.
Well, Linda from Thornton, you just made our day.
Yeah, thank you.
thank you so much.
You made our year, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, if you will leave your number, we'll get hooked up and we'll help you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Well, thanks for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm going to put you on hold. All right, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Justin Johansson, an attorney with Bell and Pollock. We're rocking and rolling, man. We got experience for you. We are injury attorneys. You can call our law firm at 303-795-5900. You want a legal game plan? We'll help you. You want a legal game plan for the accident? We'll help you. Want a legal game plan for your injuries and what to do and what not to do? We'll help you. Wow, how refreshing is that? Stay tuned. We got more coming up. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Justin Johansson, an attorney with Bell and Pollock. We're ready to legal rock and roll. Man, I feel so great. I feel like singing. But Brad won't let me sing. He never lets me sing.
No, we're not going to have you sing.
Not even a country song, something like that?
No, we're not going to have you sing a country song. I don't know about Justin's voice, but I know yours, and you're not going to be singing. You know, maybe Justin can sing.
What was that commercial? It's just not that bad, Brad. It's not that bad. All right. Caitlin's Restaurant. You can have lunch first thing in the morning at Caitlin's Restaurant. You can have breakfast at noon. It's pretty cool. Think about this. You know, a chorizo Benedict. Ever heard of that? I mean, that's really unusual. And it's good. A Benedict veggie. Cool. And all kinds of drinks. But you can have a steak lunch, a lunch burrito, a California burrito. Homemade, the scratch-made menu on the pancakes is just out of this world. And then a special recipe for beans, a homemade scratch-made green chili sauce, scratch-made red chili sauce. It's pretty darn good, Brad.
You're not going to match your pancakes. You're not going to. Now, you know, there's a lot of places where they put a lot of foo-foo stuff on the pancakes. But if you just want a good pancake that you can eat, and you can eat it even without the butter and syrup. I mean, you just get the pancake and it is so good. It's got a nice sweet taste to it. It's just amazing how good it is. It's not a plain. I've done it. I've gone to Caitlin's and I get their pancake batter, folks, and I take it home and cook it and make my pancakes. But you get the pancakes, and then I've gone to other restaurants where I've gotten a pancake and it's a plain, doughy kind of cake. Compared to Caitlin's, you're just not going to match it.
Right. Caitlin Restaurant. So, I mean, they're located over there in Colorado, Mississippi.
4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Go to Colorado Boulevard. Go over to Mississippi Avenue. Make a turn so that you're headed east on Mississippi, and you're going to see it on your left-hand side. It's right there in the Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, so we're back to Car Accidents 101. And Justin, I know that you and I have talked about this before. So you have an accident, and we're not trying to be sexist or feminist, but it seems like some guys don't want to go to the doctor, whereas women are freely go to the doctor. And so it's sometimes guys, they're tough guys, right, Justin? And they want to just suck it up, and they I don't need to go to the doctor. And then what happens with a case like that?
Well, if you think about it from a tough guy syndrome, right?
Right.
That, like you just touched on it, sometimes there's this cultural expectation for men to be stoic and, you know, push through the pain, you know, just live with it. And I think a lot of times men feel like they have to display this feeling of, hey, I'm invincible, even to the insurance company. And so what happens is this thought process can cause delayed in medical treatment. They'll refuse to get a medical treatment at the time of the accident, or they'll delay seeing doctors for weeks. And what that does is it creates this gap in that medical documentation that the insurance company loves to exploit. And they'll ask, well, if he was really hurt, he would have sought medical treatment. So the thinking of, well, I can just push through this pain is actually working against the individual. They'll even downplay the symptoms, or, you know, men will often say, well, it's really not that bad. I can handle it. I can live with it. I've lived with worse, right? So they
right,
make this
right.
comparison and they minimize the pain. And even to the point where, you know, men sometimes don't like to talk about emotions. Well, Gary, you're kind of an expert at concussions, where, you know, sometimes like after the accident, you'll have these headaches and you can feel as a person different than you were before the accident, but you don't want to express that. And we actually had a client, it was a husband and wife, and they were younger, and, you know, the husband wanted to be a good husband, and in the accident, they got rear-ended really bad, and literally their medicals almost were identical. And they both showed some kind of brain injury. So we sent them to a neurologist, and the wife really went through the emotional trauma that she was experiencing, where she admitted to the neurologist that she was scared to get into the vehicle and would not drive. She started to get really nervous every time they got into the car. She was having this post-traumatic stress-like symptoms. And she went through a really exhaustive expression to the doctor of what she was going through. Well, her husband, feeling like he couldn't really admit all that, didn't say as much. And when we got to the point of working with the insurance company, the wife's settlement offer was drastically larger. And we're pointing out to the insurance company that, you know, hey, these are the same medicals, they read the same. And their answer to us was, well, the pain and suffering for the female was worse. And when we talked to the husband about it, he's like, well, yeah, I feel the same, but I felt it was my responsibility to take care of my wife. I needed to drive the car. So even though I feel like that, I'm going to make sure she's safe and protected. So I'm going to drive the car. So I didn't feel like I could tell that to the doctor, that I also feel those same feelings. And because he withheld, you know, the insurance company was trying to give him a lower offer because he just didn't express to the doctor, and the doctor wasn't able to make that notation. So that tough guy syndrome can actually be a detriment. So I always tell guys that we work with, think about it as a CEO of your life. You know, you like to make smart business decisions, and you've been paying premiums over and over for years. Well, when you're injured, now it's time to cash in on that investment. So when you go to the doctor, go in there and think about, this is me cashing in on my investment that I've invested years of premiums, and now my insurance is going to take care of me.
Yeah, your point is well taken. And by the way, we're not talking about making up anything. We're talking about legitimately reporting symptoms that you have. I can't tell you how many times I have told individuals, husband and wife, couples, sitting right in the office, that what you're talking about on this concussion part of your case, and other parts as well, but especially on the concussion part of your case, this is a symptom-driven case. Well, what do you mean, Gary? What I mean is you need to legitimately report all your symptoms so they get into the medical records so the insurance company has to deal with them. Because if you have the tough guy syndrome, and we've seen this time and time again, usually, and I've had husbands and wives sit in front of me and laugh when I say that. They know it's true. I said the man probably won't tell the doctor anything, and the woman will be completely honest with the doctor. So this tough guy syndrome has got to go out the window. And Brett, what's your take on this?
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of times guys think it'll go away. They get hurt. They do activities. Maybe they played football or played a sport back when they were younger, and they think the injury will go away, and they think there's no reason to call a doctor and get a doctor involved. And if you just wait, rest, try and go about your daily activities of work and being a father or being a spouse and doing the things you're supposed to be doing, they refrain from going to a doctor. And the amazing part is going to a doctor allows them to learn what the injury is and to learn the best way to address the injury on a medical side of the case to help them overcome the problems. Now, you know, as Justin says, the guy, he was every bit as nervous and every bit as uptight and about getting in the car and driving the car. Giving him flashbacks or giving him an uneasy feeling or making him scared to drive the car. And he's doing that with that kind of discomfort. Well, that's not the way life is meant to be. Life is meant to be that you should be able to get in your car and drive down the road without having that constant fear and that constant problem.
But if you don't report it, if you don't report it to the doctor, it doesn't go on the medical record. It doesn't go anywhere. Hello?
You can't treat it.
No.
And the doctor can't treat it, and nobody can talk about it, and nobody can bring it to light as far as what's happened to you.
Now, we got a break coming up. Before the break, I want you to do this for me. All right? You ready? I want you to do this. Make yourself the attorney. You're an attorney. You're an injury attorney. Somebody comes in your office, husband and wife, and you're going through this scenario, and the husband says, younger guy, he says, I got injured really bad, but I'm a power lifter. I lift weights. And I almost can't do it. It kills me to do it, but I do it anyway. You know, I'm up to several hundred pounds, and I'm not going to give that up. And it's killing me. As a matter of fact, it's making my injury worse, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I have done it. So, Mr. and Mrs. Attorney, what are you going to say? Right? Well, we're going to cover this after the break. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Today, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Justin Johansson, a new attorney with Bell and Pollock. Glad to have him on board. Very experienced, very knowledgeable. And we're here for you. You can call us at 303-795-5900. And our website is so easy. Come on, championsofthepeople.com. You couldn't forget that if you tried. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. Grab your legal coffee and your legal bagel. It's the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You tell me. You tell us. I'm Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Justin Johansson of Bell and Pollock. You tell us where there's another show like this one. We've been doing this for over 20 years. I think 25 years. Is something in there like that. And we're glad to do it as a community service. We've helped thousands of people for free. We can help you. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is talk to us. You know, I've said this before. If you are just looking at your insurance policy, if you've not even had an accident, and you have questions, you can just call me. Will you get me on the phone? Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to you. I'll even tell you what I've got on my own insurance coverage for UM and MedPay. Because the bottom line is, at Bell and Pollock, we want you to be protected. We want you and your family to be protected. Right? Okay. All right, let's visit the little question, as they say in law school, query. What's the answer, Mr. and Mrs. Attorney? You're the attorney. The couple comes in, and the husband, the younger guy, says, I'm a power lifter, and I've been lifting. It's killing me. My neck is hurting. My shoulder hurts. It's killing me, and it hurts my back, too. And I hurt him in the accident, but I'm going to do it. So what do we got, Brad? What's your answer? Hello, everybody.
I don't know if maybe what you have to do is sit him down in your chair at your office and call a cab or call someplace someone to come pick him up and take him to the emergency room to identify these problems, see if he needs any testing, see what needs to be done and address the issue.
Hey, Justin, you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Having
worked out quite a bit, you got to go get the medical treatment. That's just, you got to identify what the injury is, because the insurance company is there to basically point out all the reasons why they shouldn't pay you and compensate you. And you know, your health comes first, because even if you are a power lifter and you make a choice to keep lifting through this injury, eventually it's going to catch up to you, right?
Right.
You got a torn labrum, you got a herniated disc. It's going to be the end of your career if you don't get the injury identified and solved. And that's where the medical care comes. And that's why Brad points out, you're going to have to call the cab, call the Uber, get that guy over there, getting the medical treatment and identify what's going on.
Well, not only that, get their head squared on straight, because sometimes I just look them in the eye and say, you know, you want to just totally destroy your case. You want to totally destroy it, because I tell people, and I know I've seen Brad do it too. You know, he says, well, I may never want to make a claim. Well, that's okay. That's all okay. But here's what's not okay. You must take the proper steps right now in case you wake up in 3 months, 6 months, and it's not gone away, and the pain and the problems and the limited functioning and range of motion and flexion extension is all a problem. It's all problematic. And if you didn't take the proper steps right now, and then next week, and then the next week, now you can stand on your head in 6 months. Let's say you didn't ever go to the doctor. You can cry all day long if you want. Bradley Pollock, it's not going to work.
Pain is your body's way of telling you there's something wrong. That's the way the body says there's something not working right here. There's something wrong. Now, it may be a minor thing, it may be a major thing, but it's telling you there's something wrong. Listen to it. And if your doctor tells you, well, I can see you in a month, then go down to the emergency room. Your pain is telling you there's something wrong. Go get it checked out and get it addressed. You know, I can't say enough about it. You know, how many times, you know, and we were just talking about it because I just had to attend a funeral last week.
Right.
How many times have we been told when somebody has chest pain that is not something you look and say, oh, I had chest pain, but it kind of went away and I think I'm okay. No, when you have chest pain, it's telling you there's something wrong. When you have shoulder pain while you're doing air activities, or when you have a back pain, or when you have tingling and numbness into your fingers and into your hands, it's telling you something, and it is a way for your body to just tell you. So, you know, go to the emergency room. And if you can't get that done, and if you've been in a crash, if you've been hurt from the negligence of another, if something like that's happened and you can't get medical care, call us. Call us at Bell & Pollock, 303-795-5900. We will help get you into some type of medical care or some kind of medical review to determine what's wrong.
Exactly. Look, we did a whole show, and we've got one of on a podcast as well. A whole show that if you don't have any insurance, you don't have any way to get medical care, you don't have the money to pay for it. People forget they have MedPay, $5,000 is mandatory MedPay. Unless you waived it, you're never going to waive it. People forget they have that money to go to doctors, to emergency room, and that it doesn't cost them anything. They paid for it. As Justin just said a minute ago, you paid for this years and years and years of premium. The other thing is, if you call us, we'll get you to a doctor. And then the insurance company says, well, look at that. The PI, the personal injury lawyers, referred him to a doctor. Well, so what? And I guess, and look what they say if you don't go to the doctor. You didn't go to the doctor. So they try to make you look like a liar. They try to make you look like a fraud. And they call us greedy. And they call you greedy. And I tell you what, we're no more self-interested in you than they are self-interested in their profit and their dollar. Self-interested. But the difference is, at Bell and Pollock, we're self-interested in you and your family and your well-being, right? And getting back to square one if you can. And if you can't, having it properly treated and documented so you can win the war on your injury insurance claim. It's that simple. We've been preaching this for years. Yeah.
I'll make this comment here that I always tell clients, like, one of the greatest tools that we have in our arsenal to identify injuries is the MRI. And I always tell them, MRIs don't lie as long as they're properly read. Because if you're that weightlifter and all you say to yourself is, I'm just going to go get the MRI on my injured body part. Well, guess what? That's established a baseline of what the injury is, and that's fixed in time. So even a year later, you can look back and say, there's the MRI on such and such a date, and it showed this herniated disc. Well, the insurance companies can't do anything about that. That MRI is one of the greatest tools that you have to go when. So when you say, when somebody says, well, go to the doctor, at a very minimum, I've got an injured body part, I'm going to get the MRI, because the MRI doesn't lie. X-rays are great, but the problem with X-ray is they're not showing that soft tissue. And right. That's why we kind of have this rule, MRIs on every injured body part.
All right, we're about to run out of time, Justin, here. So it's Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We do all of this because we are your champions of the people. We'll see you next week.